Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into something of a relic from SEO's past, keyword stuffing. It's a tactic that's definitely obsolete now and actually pretty harmful. So our mission today, we want to really unpack this, define it, sure, but also understand why people ever did it, lay out the serious risks you face if you try it today. It's classic black hat stuff, and crucially, give you the modern ways to optimize. You know, strategies that work with search engines, focusing on relevance and what users actually want.
Exactly. And that contrast is key, isn't it? Using keywords is vital, absolutely essential for visibility, but overdoing it, stuffing them in unnaturally, trying to game the system, that's a direct violation of Google's spam policies now.
A big violation.
Huge. And the consequences are, well, not pretty.
Okay, let's set the scene then. For anyone maybe newer to SEO, what exactly is keyword stuffing?
Okay, so basically it's loading up a web page with your target keywords or phrases. The goal is purely manipulative, trying to trick search engines into thinking your page is more relevant than it is, so you rank higher.
And this often ruins the actual reading experience, right?
Completely. Readability goes out the window. It's not just repeating words a bit too much. It's often blatant, excessive repetition, sometimes even using keywords that don't even belong there contextually, just cramming them in.
But it wasn't always seen as this terrible thing. There was a time, way back, when this, well, it kind of worked.
Oh, absolutely. You have to think back to the early days of search engines, like the early 2000s. We sometimes joke, you know, SEO like it's 2005.
Right.
Back then, the algorithms were much simpler. They relied heavily, almost solely sometimes, on keyword density, just counting how often a keyword appeared.
So more mentions meant more relevant.
Pretty much. If you wanted to rank for discount tires, you just repeated discount tires over and over again. It was crude, but often effective in those early days. It was the shortcut that died.
But then the algorithms grew up. They got smarter.
Massively smarter. Modern search engines like Google and Bing, they don't just count words anymore. They prioritize genuine quality, context, user experience, and maybe most importantly, understanding the user's intent. What are they really looking for?
And there were specific updates targeting this kind of manipulation.
Yes, several major ones. Panda, back in 2011, really started cracking down on low-quality content. Then Hummingbird in 2013 focused on semantic search queries, understanding meaning and relationships between words. And more recently, BERT in 2019 got even better at understanding the nuances and context of search queries. All these updates penalize thin, poorly written, or stuffed content.
So the tech can basically understand language almost like a human now. You can't just fool it with repetition.
Nope. Those days are long gone. Trying to stuff keywords now is like waving a giant red flag that says, I'm trying to spam you.
Which leads us nicely into the consequences. Because it's not just that it doesn't work anymore, it actively backfires. What's the biggest risk?
Search engine penalties, without a doubt. If Google catches you, and they likely will, they can hit your site hard. This could mean your rankings plummet, pages get demoted.
Or worse.
Or worse, you could face a manual action where a human reviewer flags your site, potentially leading to complete removal from the search index. Being de-indexed is catastrophic, and recovering from that, the sources call it a long and hard slog.
Oof.
Yeah, you don't want that.
It can take months, even years, to regain Google's trust.
Okay, so the bots hate it. What about actual people landing on a page like this, assuming it even ranks for a bit?
The user experience is just awful. Imagine reading text that's clunky, repetitive, maybe doesn't even make grammatical sense because keywords are forced in.
You'd leave pretty fast.
Instantly, which leads to a high bounce rate. People hit the back button almost immediately.
But hang on, couldn't a high bounce rate be caused by other things? Like slow loading or bad design? How does Google know it's the keyword stuffing?
That's a fair question. A high bounce rate on its own is just a signal something's wrong. But Google looks at multiple signals together.
Ah, okay.
So they see unnatural keyword patterns plus a high bounce rate plus low dwell time, meaning people aren't staying long. They connect the dots. They figure out the content isn't satisfying the search query.
Right. It confirms the poor quality.
Exactly. And beyond the technical signals, think about your brand. Content stuffed with keywords looks incredibly spammy and untrustworthy.
Yeah, it screams low quality.
It damages your brand's reputation, your credibility. Potential customers will just click away. You lose trust.
So you alienate search engines and potential customers. It's a double whammy.
Precisely. And forget about conversions. If someone's distracted or put off by awkward, stuffed text, They're definitely not going to buy something or sign up for your newsletter. You kill your conversion rates.
Okay, let's get specific about where this happens, because it's not always just in the main article text, is it? There's the obvious stuff and then the really sneaky tactics.
Right. Let's talk visible stuffing first. This is the repetition you can actually see. Repeating the same word or phrase over and over unnecessarily.
Like that example in the source material, the coffee pods one.
Oh yeah, that's a classic. It was something like, enjoy our aluminum coffee pods. These aluminum coffee pods make coffee fast. Buy aluminum coffee pods today. It's just painful.
Yeah, sounds completely unnatural.
And you see this visible stuffing pop up everywhere. Page titles stuffed with the same keyword, H1 headings. Even in the URL itself sometimes.
Navigation links too, footers?
Yep, navigation menus, page footers, lists of links. And anchor text for internal or external links is a big one. Using overly optimized, keyword-rich anchor text, sometimes called money anchors, repeatedly is a huge red flag for manipulation.
Okay, so that's the stuff you can see. What about the invisible tricks? The real black hat stuff designed only for search engines?
Yeah. This is where it gets intentionally deceptive. The goal is to hide keywords from human visitors, but make sure the search engine crawlers still find them.
How do they do that?
The oldest trick is matching text color to the background. Like white text on a white background.
Sneaky.
Very. Or placing text behind images, using CSS to position text way off screen where no one sees it, or setting the font size incredibly small, like 1 pixel. Unreadable to humans, but parsable by bots.
So the bot reads cheap flights, cheap flights, cheap flights 100 times, but the user sees nothing.
Exactly. Other methods include loading up HTML comments or image alt tags with irrelevant keywords. Alt tags should describe the image, not be a dumping ground for keywords.
Right.
And another common one, especially for local SEO attempts, is just listing huge blocks of city or region names without any real context. We serve New York, we serve Brooklyn, we serve Queens, but it doesn't make sense. Google's gotten very good at spotting all of this manipulation now.
Okay, so it's clear stuffing is bad news. Penalties, bad UX, brand damage, the works. If the algorithms are so smart now, how do we actually optimize effectively? How do we show Google we're legit and providing value without tripping these spam filters? Let's talk strategy.
Right, requires a completely different mindset. The absolute foundation of good modern SEO is creating high-quality, valuable content that genuinely answers the user's query. It's about user intent. You have to write for your readers first, not for a machine.
People-first content.
Exactly. If you cover your topic thoroughly, comprehensively, answering all the related questions someone might have, the relevant keywords will naturally appear throughout the text. You shouldn't need to force them in.
So it's less about hitting one specific keyword repeatedly and more about covering the whole topic area.
Precisely. Think broader. Instead of hammering the same term, use synonyms, use related concepts. Think about latent semantic indexing, LSI keywords, terms that are statistically likely to appear alongside your main topic.
Like if you're writing about dog training, you'd also mention leashes, treats, puppies, obedience.
Exactly. You diversify your language. This shows the search engine you have a deep understanding of the entire topic, not just one keyword. You build topical authority, a sort of semantic cluster around your subject.
And this ties into long-tail keywords too, doesn't it? Those longer, more specific search phrases.
Absolutely. Long-tail keywords are gold now. Especially with algorithms like BERT understanding natural language, they're less competitive, more specific.
So someone searching for best running shoes for flat feet women size 8 instead of just running shoes.
Right. That searcher knows exactly what they want. If your content addresses that specific need, you attract highly qualified traffic. And using these varied, longer phrases naturally reduces the temptation to repeat a single short keyword over and over.
Okay, but keywords still matter. Where should we strategically place the most important ones to signal relevance clearly, but without overdoing it?
You focus on the prime real estate. Your primary keyword, or a close variant, should definitely be in your page title, ideally near the beginning. It should be in your main H1 heading. It should appear naturally within the first paragraph or so of your content. And use it descriptively in the alt text for relevant images.
What about the meta description?
Included there too, yes, but just once is usually enough. The meta description is more for enticing the click from the search results page. The key is strategic placement, not saturation. Signal relevance, don't blast it.
Now that old metric, keyword density percentage, people used to obsess over hitting like 1-2%. Should we still pay attention to that number?
Honestly, not really, no. Fixating on a specific percentage is falling back into that old manipulative mindset. The algorithms don't care about a magic number.
So ignore density tools.
Not entirely. They can be useful, but think of them as an awkwardness checker. If a tool flags a keyword density of, say, 5%, it doesn't automatically mean you'll get penalized. But it is a signal that you should go read that section aloud. Does it sound unnatural? Does it feel forced?
Ah, okay. So it's a prompt to review the quality, not a hard rule.
Exactly. Focus on natural language, good flow, and using those synonyms and related terms we talked about. Context and comprehensiveness trump simple repetition counts every time.
That makes sense. Use the tool as a guide, not a dictator.
Right. And another thing that helps avoid awkward repetition is simply writing more comprehensive content. Longer, in-depth articles naturally give you more space to discuss various facets of a topic and weave in keywords and variations smoothly.
What's a good length, generally?
Well, studies show top-ranking content for competitive topics often averages around 2,000 words, maybe even more. Generally, you want content to be over 300 words just to be considered somewhat substantial. But for complex topics, aiming higher is usually better. More space means less risk of sounding cramped or repetitive.
So write comprehensive content, use variations, place keywords strategically in key spots. What's the final check? How do you know if you've nailed it?
Besides maybe using an on-page tool just to see how your terms are distributed, are they all clustered in one spot? The best test is the simplest. Read it out loud.
Just read it.
Yep. Does it flow naturally? Does it sound like something a knowledgeable person would actually say? If you stumble over a phrase or a keyword feels shoehorned in, rewrite it. If it sounds natural to the human ear, it's likely fine for the algorithms, too.
Good advice.
Okay, one last area, backlinks and anchor text. We mentioned money anchors earlier. How should we handle anchor text for links pointing to our site now?
Variety and user-friendliness are key. When you're building links or earning them naturally, you absolutely want to avoid having every link use the exact same keyword you're trying to rank for. That looks manipulative.
So mix it up.
Definitely. Use a healthy mix. Some branded anchors, your site or brand name, some generic ones like click here or read more or this study, some partial match anchors using a variation of your keyword, and maybe some using related terms. The main thing is, does the anchor text make sense in the context of the surrounding content? Does it accurately tell the reader what they'll find if they click? Think reader first, always.
This has been super helpful, really clarifying how things have shifted. So if you had to boil it all down from the bad old days of stuffing to this focus on quality and topics, what's the ultimate takeaway?
It's that success in modern SEO comes from being smart and providing genuine value, not from trying to brute force the system. Search algorithms are sophisticated now. They understand concepts, context, the relationship between ideas. They don't just count keywords. If you focus on thoroughly satisfying user intent and building real authority on your topic, the rankings tend to take care of themselves.
So the mantra holds true. Write for your readers, your actual human audience, first and foremost. The search engines will figure it out.
Okay, that actually brings up a really interesting point to leave everyone with. We've established that modern algorithms, things like Hummingbird and BERT, are getting incredibly good at understanding synonyms, context, and the user's intent, even if the search query isn't perfectly phrased.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something to think about. If Google can increasingly figure out what you mean, regardless of the exact keywords typed in, how profoundly should that change how you even select your target keywords when you start creating content?
Should we maybe shift focus away from obsessing over finding that one perfect, high-volume, exact match keyword and instead concentrate entirely on comprehensively covering a whole semantic topic, really aiming to be the definitive resource on that subject area?
That's the big question, isn't it? Moving from chasing keywords to owning topics.
Yeah.
Definitely something to chew on as you plan your next content piece.
Food for thought, indeed. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.